Happy Easter. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful day. We are here to celebrate this glorious truth that Jesus is alive. And we as Christians, we believe that not only is this a fact of history that he was raised from the dead, but we also believe that it is a current reality that Jesus is alive. And because of that, we believe that each one of you can have a real and transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. Speaking of what Christians believe, our church has been going through a sermon series called Ancient Past. We've been going through the Apostles' Creed. And I see a few guests with us this morning, so I'd love to at least catch you up on where we've been so far. We said that Christians believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. That was Christmas. You may have heard of that. But then after that, it says he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. And now we're here this morning for the next line to celebrate the glorious truth that Jesus did not stay dead. It says in the creed, on the third day, he rose again. We believe that. Hallelujah. On the third day, he rose again. That is what we are here to celebrate. And as I've been thinking about this sermon, as we go through the creed, the Apostles' Creed, it's very short. It's not that long. And so every word seems important. Every line communicates something important because they could have excluded it. They could have included it, but they decided that each phrase was important. So I've been thinking, why the third day? It could have just been he died and he rose again for our sins, as we sometimes simplify the gospel. So why the third day and why not the second day? And why not just come back the next day? Or why not the fourth day or the fifth day? Or why not the seventh day? That would be a nice biblical number as well, the day of perfection or the day of rest. Well, interestingly, Jesus tells his disciples that after his resurrection, he tells the disciples that the Messiah's resurrection on the third day is written about in the Bible. Here's this from Luke 24. Jesus says, everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. So somehow this third day is part of Jesus's fulfilling and completing the story of the Bible. And then when the Apostle Paul later writes about the essential Christian beliefs that have been passed down to him, that he's passing on to others, he says this in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So Jesus and now Paul say that this rising from the dead on the third day is written about and in accordance with the Holy Scriptures. This third day resurrection is somehow part of the fulfillment of the story of Israel, the story that God has been writing thus far. And it's been a little bit puzzling to figure out exactly why, but my contention to you this morning is that third day is not a great worship band from the 2000s. Some of you got that. But it is the discernible song of salvation and resurrection throughout all of Scripture. Now, when you hear this song, I want you to tell me what you think of. Tell me what you think of when you hear this song. That was a little bit less dramatic than I hoped for, especially with losing my microphone in the midst of that. There we go. What do you think of when you hear that song? Star Wars. Star Wars. Hopefully, the victory of the light side over the dark side, right? It's a song of a galaxy being saved from death, maybe the Death Star. When you play those same notes at different times throughout that story, it brings to mind this glorious theme of the light side is going to win, the death will be defeated. So it's this song that is played throughout, and it signifies something amazing, something beautiful. And throughout Scripture, the third day is like this Star Wars song. It's like the background music. It's a note and it's a rhythm that's played again and again that signifies salvation's coming. Resurrection is coming. So where do we see this third day as a day of salvation and resurrection throughout the Bible? I'd like to highlight just some of the main instances we see this song being triumphantly played throughout the Scriptures. These are echoes of the third day. So I'm going to go in roughly chronological order. I hope you can hang with me, but we're going to take it all the way back to the beginning in creation. Let's look at the very first third day. Genesis 1, God said, "Let the waters appear under the sky and be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. Now, often in biblical imagery, under the sea is an image for death. And so on this first third day, the waters are separated so that the ground can appear, so that vegetation, so that life can spring forth out of the ground. And these plants would have the seeds in them that would be planted in the ground. And this is the first time in the creation that God brings forth something that is living. He brings forth something living on this third day. And so life comes out of this place of non-life and death. Years later, the Apostle Paul would utilize this imagery to describe the resurrection. He says, "So it will be the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." The resurrection is like this third day of vegetation springing forth out of the ground. George Herbert wrote that death used to be an executioner, but the gospel has made him just a gardener. Like seeds planted in the ground, we die, but because of Jesus, we will be raised to new life, like plants coming out of the ground at springtime, like these flowers that are right in front of me. We will be raised, just like on that first third day. Fast forward. Abraham. The story goes that God's creation had gone wrong. Humanity sinned. We were exiled from God's presence and now suffer the curse of death. But God later calls a man named Abraham to be a conduit of his blessing in the hopes that this curse will be reversed through this special family. But Abraham and his wife Sarah, they were quite old, yet God promises a special son named Isaac through whom this promise would come to be. And then God tests Abraham by asking him to do what people at that time believed God might ask them to do, which was to sacrifice his son. And so Abraham, in accordance with his faith in God, obeys God and believes somehow God's going to fulfill his promise anyway. So this is amazing. He starts the journey of obedience with Isaac. And then Genesis 22 says this: "On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away." And so the story goes that God is actually just testing Abraham, and he himself provides the sacrifice that is necessary. When reflecting on this story, the writer of Hebrews says this: "By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, 'It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you.' He considered the fact that God is able to even raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." So on this third day, the promised son of Abraham was delivered from death so that the promise of blessing could continue through Abraham's family. And this happened through God himself providing the substitute, the sacrifice, a lamb for the offering. Do you hear the song? Fast forward. We get to the Exodus. God's people became slaves in Egypt. So God famously sends 10 plagues so that Pharaoh would know who is the real God and would so release his people. And initially, the plagues, they come in three groups of three. And so the final three of this group of three is the ninth plague. And it says this in Exodus 10. The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven so that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness that can be felt." So Moses stretches out his hands toward heaven, and there was dense darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. So after 3 days, do you know what happens? The final climactic plague will come and will result in the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt. The firstborn of Egyptian families and livestock will be struck down. But God gives his people instructions for what's known as the Passover. For his people who would slaughter a lamb and put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of the house, if they would so do this by faith and put themselves in that house, the judgment of God would pass over them and they would be spared. And so the final act of deliverance in the Exodus, the Passover, comes after this 3 days of darkness. You might be aware that Jesus' death happened during the festival of Passover. Celebrating this mighty act of salvation. He was the Passover lamb, slain for the sins of the world, so that the judgment of God can pass over us and we can be delivered out of our slavery to sin and death. And as Jesus is dying, the gospel writers say that darkness came over the land for 3 hours. I think it's possible to hear echoes of this song that was being played back in Exodus. Of the 3 days of darkness before the Passover. Fast forward once again, after God delivers them out of Egypt, God brings the people to Mount Sinai. And he says this in Exodus 19. He tells them, "Prepare for the third day, because on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, as well as thick cloud on the mountain, and a blast of a trumpet so loud that all the people who were in the camp trembled." So this third day will inaugurate a new relationship between God and his people. They're going to be given the Ten Commandments, and they're also going to be given instructions on how to build the tabernacle, where God's presence would powerfully dwell among them. So in the book of Exodus, this third day theme is connected to their deliverance out of Egypt and to the inauguration of God's covenant with them and his presence being among them. Do you hear it? Da 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 na 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 da na 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 da 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 da. It's happening again. It's happening again. Fast forward. The next generation gets to the promised land. After Moses dies, the people are getting ready to enter the land that was promised. And then Joshua says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, "Pass through the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. For in 3 days, you are to cross over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God gives you to possess." This was the land full of milk and honey, a land full of life, a land where God would be among them. So on this third day, they will begin to receive the blessings of God's salvation and victory that he won for them in the Exodus, and to enter into their inheritance on this third day. Fast forward. We get to King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was a righteous king of Judah, and he was once sick to the point of death, so much so that actually the famous prophet Isaiah comes to him and says, "You're going to die, and you are not going to recover." He is given the sentence of death by the prophet. But then Hezekiah cries out in prayer, so that God hears him. And he tells Isaiah to go back and change what you just said to him. God says to him, I have heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. So on the third day, the anointed, the king, is brought back from death to the house of the Lord on the third day. And tied up in his resurrection, so to speak, is the salvation of the people from the Assyrians. They are saved from the brink of death that was at their doorstep. Do you hear the song? It's there. Fast forward. We get to Jonah. Jesus explicitly referred to Jonah as a sign of his ministry. The prophet Jonah is running from God. You might know the story. He's swallowed by a huge fish where he is for 3 days. And when he's there, Jonah is praying. But you, Lord my God, you brought my life up from the pit, that is the grave. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And the Bible says the Lord commands the fish and it vomits Jonah out. So the prophet Jonah was brought back from the brink of death on the third day. And then he goes to Nineveh, who because of their sins, they are on the brink of judgment and death. And Jonah's three-day ministry results in the salvation of all the Ninevites. They would have died, but now they're brought back to life by the prophet who was brought back to life on the third day. Scroll forward. The return from exile. God's people had gone so far astray from his ways, they suffered the covenant curse of exile. God says to the prophet Hosea, chapter 5, I myself will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue. In other words, I'm sending you into exile. I'm sending you away. And in this bleak message of judgment, Hosea says this, come, let us return to the Lord. For it is he who has torn and he will heal us. He has struck down and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. On this third day, God will heal and deliver his people from judgment and bring them back to life, back into covenant relationship with God, back from exile. Last one. We get to the book of Esther. In the kingdom of Persia, Esther the Jew becomes queen, but an evil plot was afoot to commit genocide against the Jews, and Esther must ask the king for help. But if she sees the king without being summoned, she puts her own life at risk, unless the king extends his golden scepter to her. So Esther, she goes and she asks the people for help. She says, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Are you expecting it now? On the third day, Esther puts on her royal robes and stands in the inner court of the palace. And on this third day, she intercedes for her people at the risk to her own life, saves them from death, and her own life is brought back from the brink of death as well. Dun, 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 dun. We're here. Salvation and resurrection. Friends, these are not even all the possible connections we could have made this morning, but here's what we've said so far. On the third day, this third day theme, God springs forth life out of the earth. He delivers the promised son of Abraham. He delivered his people out of Egypt. He established his covenant with them. The people enter the promised land. King Hezekiah is brought back from death, and so are the people. Jonah is saved from death, and so are the Ninevites. God's people are brought back from the death of exile on the third day. And on the third day, Esther is delivered from death, and God's people are saved from death. So I don't think we should be too surprised to hear of this third day theme. And after his disciples learn of his identity as the Messiah, as the promised Savior King of God's people, it says that Jesus began to teach them this. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, but on the third day be raised. The song is being played again. And my contention to you this morning is that this was not an accident that Jesus was raised on the third day. Jesus knew it was going to be on the third day. It was God's plan that he would be raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, in unity with the story that has gone before. The third day is the song of salvation and resurrection. And this third day that we celebrate this morning, it's the greatest. It's the greatest act of salvation and resurrection of them all, far greater than any previous third day that we've seen in the story. And so that's why we believe, and that's why we proclaim to you that on the third day, he rose again. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does that matter for you and me? The third days that we mentioned before were for people in the past, people of Bible times. But this third day was for you. It was for you, for your salvation, for your life with God, for your eternal life. And my guess is, I don't know where all of you are this morning on your journey, but I'm guessing you face the same problems humans have always faced. You're searching for who you are and why you're here. And we believe that God loves you and God made you. He's your creator. He's your maker. You likely have a problem at some level with guilt and shame for all the mistakes, failures, and sins you've committed over a lifetime. But we believe that God sent a son to be your substitute, to be your sacrifice, and by his death to pay for and cover all your sins so that you could be reconciled to God. And I don't have to guess that you also have the problem of death. Oh, that little old problem. And that maybe you don't know where you're going to go in the afterlife when you die. But we're here to tell you that we believe Jesus rose again on the third day to rescue you from death and judgment so that we can live with God forever and ever. And we believe that this was no accident. We believe that God planned for this so that you and I can have the promise of life eternal through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This third day is our third day. It was for us and for our salvation. If you're a Christian, if you've been following Jesus, my prayer is that you will live in the hope of this third day. The perfect plan of God was accomplished. And on the last day, you will be raised because Christ was raised on the third day. If you're here or listening online, and if you're still considering Christ, you're unsure, I invite you today to place your trust and your faith in him as the one who did this for you because he loves you. So no matter where you are on that journey, I would invite all of you to bow your heads and pray with me as we thank God for this gift of life and hope on the third day. God, we do believe that you are the maker of this universe. You are why each one of us is here. I know that you have a purpose for us. We know that you love us, you made us, you created us. You know us better than anyone else. You know our inner thoughts, our struggles, our shame, our weakness. And we thank you that you looked upon us, even in our sin, and you loved us. We thank you that you sent your son to be the atoning sacrifice of our sins and to rise again on the third day to bring us back to you. We celebrate that hope this morning. Lord, I pray for the person here who is being drawn to you, who maybe still be unsure, but I pray that you would reveal yourself to them, show yourself to them that you are a living God, that Jesus is alive, and that they can reach out to you and find hope and healing. Father, I pray for the longtime Christians in this room that there would be a new sense of hope and joy and your perfect plan of salvation. Help us to all celebrate that today, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.